Hey everyone, this is Pat Lincioni, and before we begin our podcast today, I wanted to do a quick disclaimer, something we've never really done before. We've talked to a number of listeners who actually have their kids in the car or their kids listen to this with them, which is hilarious and wonderful. But today's podcast includes the use of a few words or phrases which might be inappropriate for kids, which will make perfect sense when you listen to the episode. I just wanted to let you know about this in advance so you can avoid someone hearing something that you aren't accustomed to. And we just wanted you to be aware of that. But don't worry, we'll be back to our regular PG episodes next week. Thanks so much for listening. God bless. Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lincioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lincioni, joined by the full crew, Bo, Cody, and Tracy all at once. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey there, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
We've got Karen sitting here sending me notes because she's the brain. She's like at the Wizard of Oz, you know, pay no attention to the woman behind the curtain. That's Karen. And we've got Matt making sure this all goes together. So, Cody, what's our topic today?
You have not told us. You said, right. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's hit record. Let's go.
And I'm going to tell you what it is right now, and you're going to groan, but because we tried this twice before, but we're going to do it this time.
Tell me it's not true.
We are going to do it this time. It's called four-letter words.
Yes.
And I am fascinated by this because for 25 years, I've been working with leadership teams and organizations, and some of them cuss a lot. Some of them don't ever. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. We've tried it twice before. It was wimpy and stupid, but I really want to get this done, so we're doing no prep. We're just going to talk about the occurrence of foul language in the workplace. Now, we're not promoting it at all. I love the fact that some people never swear. I wish I were one of those. This year, it's after Easter. I gave it up for Lent. Didn't do very well, I'm sad to say. I don't think I swear a ton, but I certainly don't avoid it completely. The only thing I will say is I don't use the Lord's name in vain. I think that's a commandment, and I don't do that. But other than that, I'm fascinated by how language, I love language, is used in companies. And I want to just talk about that and why people swear. What's the use, the purpose of it? And what's your experiences? Because I know that our listeners deal with this in their workplace too.
Okay, part of the reason we're chuckling is because you have tried to force this topic on us so many times and we have avoided it. And so the only way to make it happen is to surprise us with it.
What is it that, why do you think it fascinates you, Pat? I know that you love words. What is it about this topic that makes you want to lean in?
Well, it's culture too. And it's like, and again, it's not... It's like, why is it that some companies, and you'd be surprised at sometimes like the location, the industry, the people, sometimes you go to a meeting and they're just swearing like crazy. And you're like, oh, I wonder how that happened. And other places never do. And sometimes it's really effective and it really works. And other places it makes you go, roll your eyes and go, man, these people are, this is nuts. And so I want to talk, we all grew up like this, right? Some of us grew up in families that you weren't allowed to swear. I remember the family in my hometown that all the new swear words, they had the link to the rest of the country where we learned swear words from one family because the kids would come out and they'd say those. Where did you learn that? So I just think it's a fascinating artifact of culture.
Yeah, I was just thinking when they forced us to take anthropology in college, one of the things you learn is what, you know, the cornerstones of culture, one of them is words. And so the words that are used, we've talked about word salad here. But the sorts of words and jargon that is used in a place defines its culture. And you know what I find refreshing, Pat, is when people are authentic to their culture. Because there are some places you go in and they cuss and it feels very forced and it feels sort of halting and like it's disruptive. And there are other places where it feels like, yeah, it's more a signpost or an indicator of the sort of culture that they have.
Right. I totally agree. And you're right. And if it feels like they're trying to be tough or be cool, I know in the Silicon Valley, sometimes I hear swearing younger people and it feels like, oh, they went to a meeting and saw a bunch of rich people swearing and they decided we should do that too. And it feels insincere or unnecessary. So
I'm still laughing because I wish this wasn't a podcast. I wish it was a video because when you said, let's go, I've got a topic. And then as soon as you introduced it, I wish everyone could have seen Tracy's face because now this is the third time that we've done this. But I even find it really interesting. You know, the inside joke on the At the Table podcast is whenever Tracy's not here, we work the swear word. No, I'm just teasing. The word suck into the title somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we met a podcast listener, Tracy, some time ago, and they were like, "Oh, I thought you were much older than you were when I met you." And I think it was related to this idea that she didn't like the language we were using. She thought that like Tracy was somehow like this grandmotherly figure that was trying to prevent us from saying sketchy Fantastic. Words like suck in this podcast. But I see her face even now. I actually agree with you, Pat. I find it really fascinating when we're working with different teams to say, boy, the culture of this team, the culture of the organization, and then even how that culture spills into the language of that organization. And you could say the same thing about a very technical, like, you know, legal practice that uses more, you know, technical legal language than as opposed to like a, you know, it's a hallmark or an artifact of the culture of that organization, the language.
So there's that. There's like, hey, the geography, the industry, all that. We work with a lot of churches. We don't hear a ton of swearing there. You know, we work with lumber yards, companies do lumber or mining. You figure they're outside drilling and stuff. There's probably people using a lot of language. And what's funny is the same person could go to those environments and be shocked if somebody swears at the church, but not shocked out there. So it's not like it's contextual. Mm-hmm. But what I think that's interesting is, why do we swear? I think it's really interesting to look at this. Like, why do I, the times that I swear at work, what is going on?
Oh, can I answer that for you?
Yes.
Oh, fun.
Because I've noticed a pattern with your swearing. It's typically when you don't have a lot of time and you want to get a point across. Hmm. I think you very effectively use swear words. And it actually works because you're trying to push something across the finish line and your energy is increasing and it's effective.
People kind of go, ooh, he's really serious. This is really important.
Yes.
And I know all of us here do that. And you know,
to some
but
extent,
if you do it too much, it loses its impact, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Pat, is I would suggest that I bet most people the emotions they feel at work are very similar, whether they swear or not. They get frustrated yes. with someone across the table from them or in a meeting or in an email. And then it's about how that frustration bubbles out. Like I've often joked in our team meetings about even more shocking to me than a swear word is when somebody writes the phrase like per my last email. It's just a very subversive way of saying like, hey, you ding dong, you didn't read the thing that I sent you last time. And I would rather somebody, you know, like my personal opinion is that could come out in a variety of ways, either subtly or overtly, but it's not that dissimilar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hmm. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. So when you're trying to make a point and you're urgent or you're concerned that people aren't getting it, often, I don't think we make a conscious decision usually, but something will slip out and it says, oh, wow, whoa, we better listen to this because we think there's something emotional behind this or something important going on. So that's one of the reasons why. Bo, what were you thinking?
You know, another thing I'm thinking about is it can diffuse tension. It can, like, the right, well-placed, you know, four-letter word can help put people at ease. You know, if something's not going very well or there's a little tension in the room. In fact, I remember I was working at a church and we were in the middle of a conversation, one of my colleagues, and there were several of us in the room and we were trying to make this decision. And I think then I made a pretty good point about my argument and she just casually said, "You ass." And it just kind of let the tension out of the room.
Right.
We're like, okay, we're all for each other. We like each other. Like, this isn't that big of a deal. We can actually kind of let our guard down a little bit. Does that make sense? And it was funny. The whole room, you know, we're all of a sudden going from serious and argumentative to laughing and being reminding we're on the same team again.
Right. So it is a really effective tool for humor, you know, for humor because especially if it's slightly out of context. Now you say that at a train yard and they're not going to go, "Oh, that was so funny." They're going to go, "Why didn't you say hole at the end of that?" See, we didn't say both words, so it's not technically cussing. You know what I remember, you guys? Remember the Seinfeld episode where I think George is working for the Yankees and he's doing some work with some people from Houston, and they use the word bastard in every sentence. Like, hey, you old bastard. Hey, what's that bastard over there doing? We got to call that bastard. And it's just like, that was just their culture. And then he starts doing it and I'm sure got in trouble or something.
Matt, this would be a great episode if you had a bleep machine for you to do unnecessary censorship and just see how you could mess with the audience that thinks that we're saying things that we're not saying.
Well, I mean, Tracy's never going to let us air it anyway, so you guys can swear all you want.
You know, I watched this hilarious show from England called Taskmaster. And the first three seasons I watched, they bleeped out the swearing. And it was so funny because you knew they were swearing, but you didn't hear it. And so it was, and then they stopped bleeping it and it got less funny. Isn't that interesting? Because it got to be kind of crude. So I think like a word here or there. And I will say, when people do it in a church environment, it is particularly humorous or really effective. But when it happens all the time, it starts to feel kind of crass. And here's the other word I want to use, lazy. I find that when I'm really tired or lazy, I'll use a swear word when I could have said something really on point and picked the right word to describe it. And I can just throw in a swear word as like the universal adjective of I'm frustrated. And it really doesn't work very well.
That is such a great insight. Our favorite comedians are often the ones who don't need swear words to be able to be funny. And we've all seen people who are public speakers or comedians who just fall back on the same cheap tricks to be able to get a laugh when you're right. It oftentimes is a lack of precision. Sometimes it's okay. It's so contextual, isn't it? Of when it's appropriate and when it's not, when it can be helpful and when it can get in the way. Certainly in like hospitality industries. I was on a flight yesterday and there was all sorts of problems getting this plane off the ground. And I was so impressed with the professionalism and hospitality of the flight attendants. And it would have been so weird for them to be cussing in that moment, right? That would have just been ineffective because they're there to serve and steward and take care of us. It would have been very distracting for them to do that because their culture didn't need that at the moment. That's not what was required of them.
Can you imagine if they'd said, sit your asses down, we're trying to get this damn plane in the air? I mean, we would all, those of us who have been around people that swear a lot would have been like, oh my gosh, the context would have been like shocking. You know, my favorite comedian is Nate Bargatze. He's this guy from Tennessee and he doesn't swear. And he actually talks about that. And Karen was just telling me that her dad would wash her mouth out with soap when she swore. And Nate Bargatze talks about, he goes, we were Christian, but Christian in the 80s. And that meant something different. He jokes about the words that he considered to be a swear word in his family. And it really is just interesting to me, the contextual differences between language.
Well, I think context is definitely a big factor here. And whether that's because you're at a construction site or a law office or an airplane, but also the context of the airplane. Like if there were an actual emergency and they came over the intercom and said exactly what you said, sit your asses in the plane. It's like, that's the appropriate time to use a word that will instigate action. And no one should be like, excuse me, I would like to talk to someone about the language you've used. And I feel like that is what makes this conversation so interesting is people are going to say, oh, it's white, it's black or white. Like you should swear, you shouldn't swear. And the answer is that's not true. It's very likely that given the context and given the team and given the environment that you're in, both of these are perfectly acceptable ways to run a team and organization, but context and all of those other cultural factors matter.
And you know, if there's people out there that go, hey, we just don't swear at all, it's part of my faith or who I am, good on you. I mean, this is not like if you're not cool if you're not doing that. When I used to give my speeches, I would tell a story that involved a swear word. And I used it, and this man, I'm Mr. Milgard, the Milgard Windows, I think of him every time I see one of their trucks. He came up to me afterward, him and his wife, and they were so sweet, and they had had me speak a few times. And they said, I don't think you need to say that word. And they knew I was just quoting somebody. And I was like, you know, you're right, I don't. And I stopped. Mm. And I really appreciated that they were like, contextually, that's you just don't need to do that. And that's not prude or that's not judgmental. It was really kind. So so we're not saying that, you know, one is right and one is wrong. It's just an interesting part of how we do things.
Cody and I have this running story from a lot of years ago that we had when we were in college together. I think I had the idea, but it might have been Cody's idea that we were going to do a conference talk entitled Leadership. And then instead of P, have the little asterisk there. And the idea is that leadership is really, really messy. That there is like some mess that you're stepping in and things that kind of smell bad and it's not clean. And I think sometimes, Pat, your willingness to be able to cuss communicates this like, yeah, we're kind of in it. I don't have the answer. And you've written a bunch of books. You're a great writer. But sometimes we don't have the answer. And sometimes the appropriate emotional, vulnerable word or response is to be like, oh, shit. I wish we could make this better. This is tough or this is difficult. So somebody should go online and buy the domain leadership and then tell us about it.
You know, even in my books, I obviously most of them are fiction. I didn't use any swear words in The Advantage because it was nonfiction. I don't need to because I could actually be patient enough to choose the right word. But when I write dialogue for characters, I try to, we wrote one about construction and I tried to tone it down because they referred to each other as jackass. Like, don't be a jackass. And we did have some groups say, oh, we can't have that word in there. And I'd say, it's in the Bible. Ass is in the Bible. But, you know, so sometimes I remember once we actually had to do a reprint where we took that word out. But sure, generally speaking, I'd like to describe dialogue in a way that sounds real. And so that's, you know, trying to capture the culture of an organization.
Well, and that's, I think real is a very good word to use there, Pat, because I kind of experienced this parenting too, is like, are we supposed to sanitize all of our emotions to the point where, like, if I'm frustrated with what my son or daughter is doing right now, the common sort of wisdom is to go to the other room, take four breaths, and come back and tell them how that interaction disappointed you. And I'm like, no, in the moment, that's far more than disappointing. And it also divorces my kids from understanding how frustrating that can be when they're not listening. Or mm-hmm. So I just feel like there's this, this idea that we need to sanitize who we are as human beings at the workplace, like that we separate who we are as humans and just come as a sanitized version of ourselves to our teams and organizations, just is very antithetical to what we talk about on this podcast.
Yeah. You know, what's funny. It's like when we're human, when we're in that vulnerable moment and we don't have it all together and I'm in a meeting and I'm like, damn it, Bo, I don't think that's going to work. That might call for me to apologize afterward, but yeah. It's real. And he knows that, oh, okay, Pat had a moment there when he was real. Mm-hmm. You can actually be really mean without being messy and without doing that. So I do think it's a sign of, oh, you're human. One of my favorite people in the world is an evangelist, a guy who talks about faith, about Jesus. And when I first met him, he told me he slipped and said a really bad thing in front of his kids. In fact, it's happened more than once. And that's the day I said, okay, I can hear this guy because he's real. And I don't feel like I'm a terrible person if I make a mistake like that. And the fact that he's human makes me want to listen to him more. Mm-hmm. Right. And so anyway, I think we want to work with people that are authentic. And if you're authentically never swearing, that's awesome. If sometimes you slip into it, sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we don't. It's just part of the workplace. And I do think it's probably worthwhile for companies to say, hey, do we have a guideline around that?
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the email we're all going to get on tomorrow from Tracy that says, per my last email, this topic is not going to air, you know?
And then if it does air, the phone call that I'm going to get from my grandmother who listens every week and has never heard me say any of these words before.
Your grandmother listens?
Yeah, she does. She's amazing.
That is so awesome. That is the sweetest. What's her name?
Shirley.
Shirley, your grandson is a dear boy who almost never swears. And thank you for listening, Shirley. That's so cool. That's so cool.
That is awesome.
Hey, do we have an unpaid ad today?
Yeah, I do have an unpaid ad. And it's going to seem sort of wild that I had this plan, not knowing what the topic is. But the unpaid ad is for Puckett's. Puckett's is a restaurant that we all got to go to in Franklin, Tennessee. It's actually Puckett's Grocery. And it was fantastic. It was just such a fantastic dining experience. Wonderful staff. Great. We all got t-shirts.
Yep.
Fried pickles. We all got t-shirts. Tracy and I got hats.
Hats.
And what did you like about Puckett's?
It's an old grocery store, you know, like really old grocery store from like the 1800s that they just turned into a restaurant, but they pretty much left it like a like an old grocery store.
Mm-hmm. There's like refrigerators. You can go get milk on the side. And they had huckleberry or blackberry cobbler that was out of this world. And you know what I loved is they are exactly who they are. They were just trying to be Puckett's Grocer. Yeah. It was great. And then I got a t-shirt. They give you a little, it looks like a pancake, but it's actually a corn cake. And so you hear all throughout the restaurant, is this a pancake? And then you hear 37 times. So we said, it's not a pancake, it's a corn cake. So we all got t-shirts that say, it's not a pancake, it's a corn cake.
Right. It was great. Puckett's. If you're in Franklin, Tennessee, which is south of Nashville, check it out. It's worth it. All righty. Thanks for being on our darned podcast. And we appreciate our listeners. We hope this lands well. We hope that Tracy will let us do it. I think, what do you think, Cody, Bo, Matt? What do you think? We're going to get it out there? We got thumbs up. What do you think, Cody?
I'm looking at Tracy's face. I give it 50%.
I think it all depends on our travel schedule. We might be desperate and have to release this one.
What do you think, Karen? She says 51%. So, all right. Hopefully you'll get to listen to this. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.